Stopping. Hi, this is Reading with Roxanne, and I'm doing a Zoom chat today with my friend and coworker Melanie Hensey, who I'll reintroduce in just a second, but I just want to promote a few events coming up. On August 12th, which is this Wednesday at 6 p.m., there is a virtual book talk by Hank Philippi Ryan, and she wrote a book called The First to Lie. It's a crime novel. She's actually an investigative reporter from Boston originally, so she knows her stuff, which I think is really interesting when somebody who's done the actual job then creates fiction from it, because you know darn well a lot of it's probably taken from real life. So it gives it that verisimilitude that makes it so real. And then I have something coming up on August 31st. It's a book club. It's a mindfulness book club. It's on a book called The Serendipity Mindset. It's a very uplifting book about creating your own good luck. It's a lot of common sense stuff, believe it or not, but yet things that you don't think about doing. And it's just a wonderful book. Every chapter has sort of like worksheet type ideas to take off and do the actual practice of it all. So that's on August 31st at 6. And then the last thing I want to promote is by this beautiful man named Reggie Williams, who is a famous NFL player. He's written a book called Resilient by Nature, and he's launching it through us on September 8th at 7 p.m. So it's a virtual book launch, and Reggie is such a beautiful person. He's a philanthropist. He is a Renaissance man. I mean, not only did he play football all these years and has sort of residual physical problems because of it, his knee, number one. I think he's had an ungodly number of surgeries. But he just is so positive. He told me some beautiful stories, which I know are probably going to be in the book, about a meeting Muhammad Ali. I mean, just really goose pimple stories. So I know that the book's going to be great. I actually once ran into him at State Street Restaurant by himself doing a crossword puzzle. And I thought, this is a guy I like. You know what I mean? He's just like such a cool person. I just think it's going to be a great event, and that's September 8th at 7 p.m. So how you actually enter these or get a ticket for them is you go to our website, sarasotabooks.com, and you go to events, and it'll just be a very simple process of RSVPing. The ticket price includes the book, which is perfect because then you are knowledgeable about the event and what's going on. So check that out. All right, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Melanie Hensey, who is a bookseller and child literature expert. I'll let her tell her actual credentials so that I don't mess them up. But I miss seeing her in person, but I'm so glad to see her today on Zoom, even though you can't. She's looking as glamorous as always.
No, hardly. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here. And I do have to say, Reggie Williams is just the sweetest, nicest man. And, you know, this epitomizes part of what I love about Bookstore One is our customers that we become friends with, and they become part of our kind of bookstore family. And I have so enjoyed having that experience here at Bookstore One since I came about 3 years ago. So I'm looking forward to hearing Reggie. But my story is I've always been a reader. My whole family were readers. My father was military, so we moved a lot, so I did a lot of reading because we would always move in the summer, and I wouldn't know anybody, so I did a lot of reading. So when my youngest daughter became a senior in high school, I decided to go to the University of South Florida and get my master's degree in library and information science, and so I did that in about 2 years. And my first position was at the Central Library in Manatee County. I was an adult services librarian, but one of the jobs that I volunteered for, because I still had kids at home, was to do the ordering of the teen books, the teen fiction books. So I kind of got an interest with those, and middle school and high school age books. And so when I transferred to the Selby Library, I was fortunate to have a part-time position, which I needed at the time, and worked in their gorgeous teen library there at the Selby Library. And so I love working with teen kids. And fortunately for me, this was during the whole Twilight and Hunger Games era, and kids were reading like crazy. These books were just so great. It appealed to them and appealed to adults as well. Mm-hmm. So that kind of made my job a little easy. Mm-hmm. So I was very excited when earlier this summer, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, that's a mouthful, was released by Suzanne Collins. And this is a book that's the prequel to the Hunger Games series. So it's in store now. It's a big book, so you have a couple weeks before school starts. If you haven't read it yet, this would be a really, really good time to read that book. So I thought I would just share that one with
now,
you.
Now, Melanie, let me ask you a follow-up on that. Young, yes. It's young adult. I mean, how young would be okay for it? Do you know? You know what I'm saying?
For the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, I had parents with children as young as the age of 10 reading Hunger Games.
Okay.
That's a little young in my opinion, but I think this book, if you've read the series, then certainly would appeal to anyone that has read the series. You most likely would have wanted to read it first because the main character in that book is throughout all of the other books.
Okay, great. So,
anyway, like I said, it appeals to adults. That whole series appeals to adults as well. Mm-hmm. I'm also a great lover of the historical novel, the old historical fiction genre. And so what I've noticed also is that there is a group of authors that are young adult authors that appeal to adults. And in book clubs I've been in, I've run across a couple of these authors. And I thought I would share that because I love an intergenerational book where a family can read it and really look at the book on all different levels.
Yeah.
It appeals to everyone. Mm-hmm. In our community, we have a lot of, you know, grandparents and their children and grandchildren. And one of those, to me, that is just absolutely one of our favorite books, and it is a staff pick this month, is the book Refugee by Alan Gratz. And this is a very timely book, even though it's historical fiction, because it's the story of three people. One boy in the 1930s Nazi Germany, a young girl in Cuba in the 90s, and then a young Syrian boy in 2015-16-ish current times. Mm-hmm. And their stories all intertwine, and it's all about them trying to be safe in their lives. And their stories all come together at the end in a very surprising way.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
And it's a book that anyone age 8, 10, or whatever, can read themselves, but it holds adult interest, and it's a great book to talk about as a family. So this is just a highly, highly recommended book, and it's won all kinds of awards, and I know we have that in the store right now.
Yeah, and I really hope during this whole pandemic thing, if parents haven't had a chance to do this yet, now's the time, actually as a good practice, to get back into the school mode, right? I mean, read a book together as a family. I think it's a beautiful thing. It helps keep the kids entertained. It gives you something to talk about, distraction. I love it.
Right. And there's a couple others maybe for a little bit older teens. One of my favorites is the book Codename Verity by Elizabeth Wine. And another author some of you may be hearing about, she's really garnering a lot of attention. Her name is Ruth Sepetys. She's actually Lithuanian by descent, and she's written the books many of you may have heard of, Salt to the Sea, and Fountains of Silence, which is about Franco and Spain and that sort of thing, and it makes you kind of understand the history, which I didn't know that much about myself about Franco. We tend to ignore that. So that was a very good book, and I enjoyed reading that. All of those are great for adults to read as well as kids.
Mm.
So I thought seeking away a little bit from some historical fiction is a favorite book of Andrea and I. We actually were reading it at the same time we found out, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a new book, and it's the title of it is Valentine. The author is Elizabeth Wetmore. She's from Odessa, Texas, and this is her very first novel. This is her debut novel called Valentine. It kind of takes place in the 70s in Odessa, Texas during in the oil kind of area. So Odessa's out kind of basically in the middle of nowhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of a 14-year-old girl who was, I won't tell you exactly what happened, but had a traumatic experience. And she wandered onto the front porch of another young woman who helped her. The writing in this book is phenomenal to me for a first-time author. It just sucks you right in. And she has developed about five characters, I believe, that have, their stories all intertwined. All women. They're all strong women. It's all about, you know, violence and race and class and how people treated women in the 70s and, you know, women standing up for themselves in a very small little tiny town of Odessa, Texas. But this is also a thriller type book. So it just kind of covers all the bases.
Yeah.
You can't put it down. It's just one of those fast books. And it's almost like you need to reread it to look for all of the themes that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the story just keeps you so engrossed in that story. So
that's good.
A new book. And it is in the store, and Andrea and I both loved it, and it is a stat pick this month.
Great.
So those are some of my favorites, and I can keep going.
Yes, you can keep going. How about, you said something about a Ken Follett book that's coming up?
Yes, I am a huge fan of historical fiction. I've been reading historical fiction since I read Gone with the Wind, I think, when I was 11. This is why kids are so lucky today, because we have so many amazing books written for middle grade and high school age readers. We didn't have that when I was growing up.
Right.
You know, you had Nancy Drew, the Bobbsey Twins, and then nothing.
Yes.
I mean, it was like nothing.
Yeah.
And so I started reading my parents' books because we were all readers.
Yeah.
And so I fell in love with historical fiction. We lived in England for a while, so I was really into all of the English writers. Jean Plaidy and Wilbur Smith I loved about Africa and the Dutch settling and the Boer War, all that. And Ken Follett just kind of, you know, fell into that hole. Around, I think when you have a really good historical fiction author, that's somebody that really researches, the research is impeccable, and then they make a story so it helps the reader to understand what it was like and what happened at that time. So I like historical fiction that has an event, it has something that's happened to draw you in. So I love this Kingsbridge series, which is starts with the Pillars of the Earth.
Okay.
And of course, living in England, I had been to the cathedral. I had seen it, so it kind of, you know, was there present in my mind.
Nice.
When I read the book years later. So he has coming out in September. So this is a sneak peek sort of sharing. He has written finally the prequel. We seem to have a prequel theme going here. The prequel to Pillars of the Earth, and the title of that is The Evening and the Morning. Mm. And it takes place around the year 1000 or so.
Wow.
And starts out at sort of at the end of the Dark Ages in England, when there's all the Vikings coming in and raiding everybody, and the issues with the Welsh in the West and all of that.
Mm.
And it kind of, when you get done with the book, you're leading into starting the Pillars of the Earth.
Wow.
So you get introduced to the town of Kingsbridge and the characters that go on into the next book. I love Ken Follett. His books are amazing. I can't wait to read this one. So those of you that are fans like I am can be watching for him in September.
That's great. Well, thank you, Melanie. This has been awesome. I really appreciate your insight. And again, it's hard right now with the pandemic that we're not all working together, because I learned from you and, you know, oh yeah. And so, you know, I miss your takes on things. So this is perfect, because now I have a little bit of a refresher. I mean, I can only offer so much as far as recommendations when someone comes to the door, because obviously I haven't read everything. But
well, none of us have. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And that's another great thing about working at the store. We all seem to have our strengths.
Right.
And they seem to be in different areas. Now, you have teaching behind you, so you, I know, have literature experience as well.
Right.
So that's great to have two of us that can do that sort of thing. But it's, like I said, we all like a team. We're like a team. One of us doesn't know what the other one usually does.
Yeah, I know. It is a good team. And I'm going to do a Field of Dreams thing for you, because I think if you put out a date and you're about to talk about a historical fiction book club, I bet if you put out a date, people would come. If you build it, they will come, because we have had a lady, again, I don't know who she is, sweet lady, but every time it's someone else waiting on her, and I hear her go, when are they going to have historical fiction book club again?
So, well, you know, we've been having it. We started it, I think I started it in January. And so we were going along, and, you know, some months we had a few here, a few there. One month we had 17 people.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
And it was for the book Next Year in Havana. It was one of our favorites, according to everybody that came. So I just felt it was appropriate this month to pick her newest book. The author is Chanel Cleeton. She's very young. She's in her early 20s. She was born and raised in Miami, but she is of Cuban descent. So this is our current book. And the plan is, at this point, if we can't get a Zoom thing going, is whenever we have our first meeting, we're just going to all talk about the books I've been choosing every month.
Great.
And I know it'll probably take more than one time, and a lot of us will have forgotten what we read, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. So her newest book is The Last Train to Key West, which just, I love that idea because it's all about the Flagler era and the boom in Florida, and Henry Flagler built that railroad all the way down Florida, and he was building the hotels and everything and trying to make Florida into a big vacation hot spot kind of thing.
Right.
So this book takes place over Labor Day weekend of, what year was that? 1935.
Hmm.
And that was the year that the big hurricane hit the Keys and basically destroyed Henry Flagler's railroad. So there's a lot of history about the building of that in South Florida, and you've got a story of three women who didn't know each other prior to this book. One is related to the family from her other books, so there's still some kind of like flow through
carryover here. Sure.
Yes, carrying it on through. So this deals with the Wall Street crash and the whole boom bust of Florida. And so we're all familiar or at least know somewhat about Key West. And so I thought this would be an easy book to read for this time of year. Unfortunately, it's heading into hurricane season, and hopefully we won't have any. But I've been reading some heavy books, and this one actually sounds a little bit lighter.
True, compared to what's happening, right? Okay, well, thank you, Melanie, so much. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you soon, and hopefully we're going to have a nice reunion one of these days.
I am so looking forward to that, Roxanne. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, thanks again, Melanie.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.